And we're going to go into a little bit about that, how he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And so I'm going to go through some back history of that, and we're going to go through some things together this morning, all right? So let's get a little bit of back history, shall we? I kind of like history and looking at stuff, so we're going to do that. So around 606 BC, Jerusalem was destroyed, and the Israelites had to go into exile, okay? So not a really fun time for their life. It was terrible. And then for approximately 70 years, the Israelites were totally scattered and exiled underneath the Persian reign and empire. All right? And then around 536 BC, okay, remember, so if it's before the Lord, okay, before Jesus, we're going backwards here in Numbers. So we're starting with a higher number and we're working our way backwards. Okay, so 536 BC, this was when the Jews first returned to Jerusalem and Israel to rebuild the temple of Zerubbabel. Now, hopefully I got that name right. If you want to fact check me, you can. I don't care. I am dyslexic and I'm going to put that out there this morning. I will probably get a few words wrong. So Zerubbabel. All right. So then we have around 516, they finished construction of the temple. It took about 20 years to do that. Then approximately 458, so year 458, Ezra leaves Babylon to lead more Israelites back to Jerusalem. All right, then this brings me up to my message today. All right, approximately the year was 445 BC. Nehemiah heard a report, and it was about Jerusalem, and it was about the walls, and something was wrong. Everything was in disrepair. The city was in disrepair. The walls were crumbling. The walls were coming down. And he knew that he had to do something very fast, and it had to be within the same year. Now, you're sitting in church this morning, and you're saying, Matt, I am not building no stinking wall. I didn't ask you to build a stinking wall. You say, God never called me to build a new building. I'm telling you what, I am no builder. Amen? If you've all ever seen me do some work around here, you all start laughing. It's funny, and I don't know why, but I'm just doing what God gave me, right? If it is to usually like paint a wall, I usually have more on me by the end. It's just my skills. I like to say, hey, I'll do whatever God wants me to do, but you may not like the outcome sometimes when I build something. But listen to me here. God may not be asking you to build a wall today, but he's asking us to do something, isn't he? So you're thinking, okay, I came to Mission Point today, and I'm going to blend in with the crowd. Maybe this is your very first time today. We want to welcome you if this is your first time. But you're saying, I'm going to stay here. And some of you have been here for years. You're like, I'm coming to Mission Point just to blend in. That's awesome. You know, I came over 3 years ago here to Mission Point. It was on a February day. And me and Laura had left the church, and we came here, and we said, we are going to blend in with the crowd. Okay, I should have known better. I am 6'3", I'm a big dude, and I got a really dark tan. Now, I don't blend in anywhere I go, and I thought I could blend in some way that day. No, I didn't blend in well. Can I tell you, you're not blending in well either. I know who you are. So if you think you don't, we know who you are. And if no one's talked to you by the end of the church service, we're going to make someone talks to you today and gets to know your name. Amen? Amen. We want to know you here. We don't want you just to have to blend in. We want you to become part of family. I want to preach to you this morning about Nehemiah's prayer life, all right? And although he was known for being a prophet and rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, his prayer life was exceptional. Today at Mission Point, I'm announcing a building project. I knew I'd get you all to look up here. No, I'm really not. Truly, I just wanted to see the shock for a second, right? When you say something like that, everybody goes, what in the world? Building? No. We're going to build a wall of prayer, a defense mechanism. It's defense. God called us to love and build up our brothers and sisters in the Lord with a wall of prayer. Just like Nehemiah had to go in and build physical walls, we have to build spiritual walls. And those walls, hey, that's something that Satan can't break through. That's something that the enemy can't tear down. That's a wall that's ordained by Jesus Christ. Amen? And it'll get us through tough times. All right, we're going to do something fun today, shall we? Everybody, can you all stand up? All right, now in front of you, so in every aisle, there are some bright colored cards. All right, sorry about the people in the front row. All right, let me go get a card real quick here. All right, let me get a card here. I see you got your card, awesome. All right, so everybody in your row, there's eight cards, these bright cards down through your row. All right, now here's the fun thing that you got to do. Okay, I didn't put pens out. You got to find the lady in the church who probably has the mechanics pens or the empire pens. Did I say empire? Yeah. Whoever you bank through and you take their pens, that's probably us. Find someone who's got a couple pens. Scatter your pens out. All right. We're going to take a couple minutes this morning. I want us to do a few things. This is with the people in your row. Okay? The people within your row this morning, I want you to capture their names. You two can probably go to the next row. You guys too. Your prayer partners. All right. I got you. But that's awesome. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Capture the names. Find out how many years, how long they've attended Mission Point. And then I want you to ask them one specific question. How can you pray for them this week? Go. Can I borrow your pen? How can I pray for you?
School, it's the end of the year,
baby. Elaine?
I didn't get great news this week, so maybe another surgery. How about you?
My job.
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Thank you. All right.
I
don't know why. Yeah, profession. All right, let's give it about one more minute. About one more minute. All right, everybody, come back to your seat and let's stand. All right. Okay, I'm glad you guys got to know your neighbors this morning. Awesome. Did anybody meet anybody new? Good. Did anybody find anybody who hasn't been here for the first time? Awesome. Great. We want to welcome you this morning. Also, hey, fill out a visitor's card as well while you're at it. If you haven't filled out a visitor's card, there's one there too. But do that after you sit down here in a second. All right. We're going to get in. I love meeting people, right? I love getting to know our church. You know, we've got to know how to pray for each other. You're my family. Do you know, I see you more than I see any of my siblings. Even though I love them, I love you all. Now, just as much because you're my brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're going to read out of Nehemiah chapter 1, and we're just going to stand for the reading of God's word. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I told you, I said I'm very dyslexic, and it's documented, and we all know about it. So there are going to be a couple words here. You're going to go, ooh, Matt, you didn't say that right. Just go with my language. All right, great. That works. Thank you. All right, here we go. I'm reading out the NLT this morning, starting in chapter 1. Inlay autumn in the month of, here we go, I told you, Kislev, if you got something else that works with me. In the 20th year of King Azurski's reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had arrived in Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned from their captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, "Things are not going well for us who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." Now, could you imagine, let's just stop for one moment. Could you imagine if someone came to you one day and just said, "Mission Point got destroyed by fire"? I'd probably right now collapse. Amen. I needed that. You see, I told you the Lord comes in on time. Amen, on time. All right. "And when I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to God of heaven. For then I said, 'O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love for those who love him and obey his commandments, listen to my prayer.'" Listen for a second here. Listen. "Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly, but not obeying your commands, decrees, and regulations that you have gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by the great, powerful, and strong hand are your servants. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to my prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Please put in his heart to be kind to me." I love that. He prayed back then, "Lord, let him be kind." "In those days, I was the king's cupbearer." Lord, come up here, let's pray, and then we're going to get into message this morning. Amen. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we love you today. Lord, we pray, Lord, that this message would be honoring and fitting unto you. Dear God, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would examine our prayer life, examine our hearts, Lord, examine the walls, Lord, examine what we are doing here. And Lord, let us grow closer unto you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated this morning. Amen. Dwight L. Moody was a big-time pastor in Chicago years ago, right? And years ago, someone came up to him and said, "Mr. Moody, now that I am converted, must I give up the world? Must I give up the world?" And Dr. Moody looked at him and he said, "No. No, you won't have to give up the world." He said, "If you give a good ringing testimony for the Son of God, the world's going to give you up pretty quickly. They won't be around you for long." Amen? I've learned that to be so true. Let's get into our message here. Nehemiah being the key figure in today's message. You see, he played a pivotal role in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem after Babylon had exiled them. We know Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. You see, his job was to test the drink, okay? And he had gave him high trust and responsibility. It was primarily tasking him to see, okay, he tested the drink before he handed it to the king, to see if it was poisoned or not. All right. Now, I'll be honest with you, even though that was a high-ranking job, I don't think I'd want to do that. Sorry, I'll pass on being the cupbearer. And if you want to be, that's awesome for you. But that does not seem like a job for me that I would really want to do. But this job allowed Nehemiah into the privacy of the king's intimate conversation and allowing him to become very influential at that time. When Nehemiah learned that the walls of Jerusalem needed to be rebuilt, he went directly into prayer. Now, personally, I've never built a wall of a city. I'm no Bob the Builder. It's true. I am not that construction type of individual. Like, it's reality. I love setting up a room. I like finding a really good builder. Now, I came from someone who was a good builder. My father was, but that's not me. But Nehemiah started praying, Lord, we've got to figure this out. How do we repair these walls? And so he didn't have the resources, but he went into prayer. He went into prayer. And throughout the book of Nehemiah, it showcases him in a first-person writing. A lot of times you'll see writings in a third person or whatever. He's writing in real time as himself. He's saying, I, Nehemiah, prayed. I, Nehemiah, had to do this. And so he was starting and documenting his prayer journal and the events that were happening. Here's what's pretty amazing about this, some amazing fact about this, is that Nehemiah in 52 days had reinforced the gaps and he rebuilt the walls. 52 days. 52 days, he rebuilt the entire walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah, with direction of the Lord, gathered people, and God equipped him, and then God mightily used him to rebuild the city. Now, it took him 52 days once he started, but it took him 4 months of praying, and it took him 3 months of gathering materials. Nehemiah, he began his prayer life with praise. He began his prayer life with praise. Let's talk about that this morning. Have you ever prayed an offhanded prayer unto the Lord? You're saying, what's an offhanded prayer, Pastor? Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Oh, yeah, I've prayed that. That's not terrible. We used to teach that to our kids, right? Okay. And then I've prayed things as I've got older, right? Like, okay, Lord, can I have that car? Oh, that's a pretty car. Lord, can I have that big house? I didn't ask about the mortgage that went with it. Amen. I didn't ask how big the payment was, but I said, Lord, would you give me that car? I've also asked God for promotions I didn't really need. I asked God one time for a promotion. I wanted this big job, right? I was like, ooh, this is going to be just me. I prayed for this job, and Laura's like, that ain't you, Matt. I said, yes, it is. I was working to 9 to 10 p.m. every night, wasn't I? Was it 2 years? Oh, I got a great promotion. I was miserable. I didn't wait and listen to God. I demanded God. I'm telling you life experience, right? Instead, I should start your prayer. He did something awesome. Let's look at this. When he began to praise him, in prayer, he said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God. He called him great. He called him awesome. He didn't say, oh Lord, miserable me today. Woe is me. He called him great, awesome. Now, I want you to think of some things, and I want you to flip your paper over, okay? Your little index card. And if you still got your pen with you, write down and one word, who God is to you this morning, amen? Take a moment. Is he awesome? Is he amazing? Is he faithful? Write down who he is today. And I want you to incorporate that word in your prayer life this week. All right? Try to incorporate it. When you go in with thanksgiving to the Lord, try to incorporate that word into your prayer life. Instead of us demanding God, we should be obeying God. Amen? Nehemiah, I love how he said, you're great and you're awesome. And then Nehemiah, in the beginning of his prayer, reminds God that God keeps his covenants. You see, God don't lie. I've met a lot of people over the years have lied, don't you? Maybe you've worked with some people. Maybe you've told a lie. We know it's wrong. Amen? I want to tell you this morning, God don't lie. And God keeps his covenant. And he keeps his commands with his people. And yes, we got to remind him. We don't have to because he already knows. But he wants us to. Why? Because it's showing that we're faithful to him. He put a covenant with us. And then Nehemiah tells him, God, you have unfailing love. I want you to know this morning that God loves you. Loves you. It's ever unchanging and it's never failing. And he has an unfailing love for you. And to those he loves, he honors them. Now, take a moment and I want you to think to yourself, when is the last time that I have ever praised the Lord in my prayer? Take a moment. You don't have to say it out loud, but take a moment and say, God, when is the last time I've really, truly ever praised you in my prayer life? Now, if you've got to the point you're saying, okay, I've never done that. All right. If you still got air in your lungs, I said that totally backwards. That's kind of funny. But you have time to change that. Amen. Start praising him. I remember my grandparents years ago. I come from good hillbillies. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I knew that I'd get a good amen here. And my grandpa used to say, when I wake up in the morning, I lift my hands in praise and I thank him for every breath he gave me. Amen? I always wondered why he did that years ago. And then he said, before I get into anything else, I'm going to thank him and I'm going to lift my hands and praise him and then I'm going to give him my petitions to him. Then, kind of goes along with Nehemiah. It's exactly what he did. Nehemiah persisted in his prayer life. And this is the thing I like. And you can go into the next slide. It says, he prayed, he fasted, and he wept. He prayed, he fasted, and he wept. Now, majority of us in here have prayed, right? Amen? We've prayed. I'm not going to ask, but everybody to raise your hand. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to say it out loud. Maybe you fasted. Maybe you haven't. We've talked about fasting in the last couple weeks around here. Maybe you've started. Maybe you haven't. That's totally up to you. It's just like prayer. I can't make you pray. I can't make you be a Christian. I can't make you fast. Amen? That's between you and the Lord. So some of you maybe have prayed. Some maybe have fasted. But have you mourned over your church? Have you mourned over your church family? Have you prayed over your people? I'm going to tell you, in the last 2 months, I have found myself in this sanctuary all by myself with my body stretched across this floor, prostrate, and just say, Lord, and wailing. It's okay. Amen. Is it worth fighting for? This church, our people are worth fighting for. We're building a defense. Joy keeps a prayer list a mile long around this place. Where are you at, Joy? There you are. You want to know what we're praying for? Have her send it to you. It's like epic. And we sit down every Tuesday and every Thursday, and we pray over that prayer list. You'd be shocked whose names are on there. Can I be honest with you? Some of them I'm like, I don't know who that is. I need to figure out who that is. This is why we're learning, everybody, today. We need to weep over our people. He went into mourning. It says he mourned for them. I've got to places in my life I've had to mourn. It's not fun to mourn, right? We've all probably at some point or another have taken family down to the grave. If you haven't, God bless you. Someday you might have to, because it's all appointed unto every person. We will go through that in life. But I've got to the point I've had to mourn for my city. I've had to mourn for my family. I've had to mourn for our church family. Sometimes it's like death. And I've had to come to that point in realization, Lord, this is all of me. And so when I was studying Nehemiah this week, Laura brought some scripture over to me, and she said, Matt, Nehemiah mourned for 4 months. That means he prayed, he fasted, and he wept for 4 months. And then he repeated it. And then he wept for 4 months. I want you to know, you're all worth fighting for, amen? My little boys, they're worth praying over. They're worth fasting over, and they're worth weeping over. Why? I want them to go to heaven with me, don't you? Man, my lost loved ones, I started going in. You say, well, why'd you pick the book of Nehemiah for? I'm going to be honest with you. I got a cousin named Nehemiah, and he's in a bad situation right now. And I started praying for him this week, and I said, Lord God, would you revelate my heart that I'd pray for him more fervently than ever? And I started looking, oh, I got to build a wall of fence for my own Nehemiah. I got to put a wall of prayer for him. And then as I've been praying for him, I started praying. I'm like, Lord, maybe I'm not doing this right. Am I not fasting the way I should be? Am I not weeping the way I should be? You know, there's no right answer. I can't tell you how to pray. I can't tell you how to fast. I can't tell you how to weep. All I can do is to say this. You need to start doing it. Because if we don't pray, our people perish. That's just simple fact. If we don't pray, we perish. It says that he sought God's will for 4 months after he received that report. And Nehemiah 1:4 says this, when they heard this, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days I mourned and fasted and prayed to God of heaven. I couldn't imagine what it was like. And listen, we're Baptists. We're not as dramatic as everything else sometimes, right? We try to keep it in check. I had to go back and look how he was. Listen, he wailed. I'm not going to wail in here this morning. I'm sure you would like that. He wailed. But can I tell you, if you need to come down here and wail at the altar, I sure ain't going to turn you away. If you need to fast and pray, we're here. If you don't have a place at home to pray during the week, well, I'm here usually between 9 to whatever. You see my car out there, you knock on the door, you come in and pray. Amen? You come in. This is an open place for you. And you say, Pastor, I need to grow closer unto the Lord. Well, we're going to do this. Pray, fast, and weep. And how are we going to build our church and a wall of defense? I can't make you do it, but I'd ask you if you'd think about it, to pray and to fast and to weep. I pray that you would ask every single person in here that you love, if you're in a small group, if you're in a different type of something around here, any of your ministries, bind together with someone in prayer and say, would you pray with me? Would you fast with me? And would you weep with me? Would you share a burden with me? Do you know what's been pretty awesome lately? A lot of us have been sharing burdens with each other. We're sharing burdens with each other. Why? We need to share those burdens with each other. Ask yourself, when is ever the last time you've sat down and prayed on the floor? You say, well, I can't get down, Pastor. That's okay. When's the last time you've ever just bowed your head at home and prayed? When's the last time you turned off the television and said, it's enough, that's garbage, let's pray? Amen? When's the last time you said, everybody, when you come to the table, we're going to pray? before chowing down. Okay, it's okay to say that. We can pray. Amen? You stopped them all and said, okay, let's take a moment. Let's pray. When's the last time you gathered everybody in? You started to pray. They all started to eat. And you said, you know, I'm good today. I'm gonna pass on this meal. Hey, it's okay. And when's the last time God's kept you up all night and you couldn't sleep and you've wept in the middle of the night? Man, it seems lately I've been up in the middle of the night. Lord, what are you doing? It's just like I'm praying. Okay. Hey, that's a good time to pray. It's a good time to fast. It's a good time to weep. Lastly, Nehemiah prepared himself for whatever God would ask him to do. Whatever God would ask him to do. Nehemiah 1:11 says this, Lord, please hear my what? Prayer. Please hear my prayer. Listen to my prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put in his heart to be kind to me. Put in his heart to be kind to me. You see, Nehemiah understood a simple equation. One individual plus God is the majority in every situation. So I want to show this equation. One plus prayer equals great power. Amen? You have mighty power in you today. You say, I'm just an individual. Good. So am I. There's nothing magical. There's nothing mysterious about it. But when I come in contact with Jesus Christ, who resides in me when I got saved, amen? And I start to pray, I can harness a great power. Think about if 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people get together and we start praying. I'm going to come down here for one moment, right? Okay, I got off the pulpit. Okay, say if I come in agreement with Hudson, Laura, Ellen. Okay, you all, I come in agreement with you, 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 and you. What can we do? We get our hearts in one accord. We start acting like we love each other. What can we do? We could change the world. We could change Mansfield. What can we do? It could be, you say, well, a building project, you might have it one day. If you get in one accord with Jesus Christ. It takes us loving him beyond a shadow of a doubt. We got to love him so much. Man, you know, one plus prayer equals great power. Y'all, I came from nothing. My grandparents were all alcoholics before they got saved. I should have never been in church. My great-grandparents were atheists. When my grandmother was 32 years, someone gave her the gospel for the very first time. One person plus prayer equals great power. That person who spoke to my grandma Vance out of Shelby, Ohio, said, ma'am, can I lead you to the Lord? And that day, her and my grandfather accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If it wasn't for that individual who went to their home and said, can we pray with you? Invited them to church. Where would I be today? One plus power. Prayer equals great power. Now I pastor. My brother pastors. I have a brother who is a praise and worship leader. What if someone didn't pray for us? What if someone didn't see a burden for one individual? This morning, I want you to look at your card this morning in front of you. And on that back part of that where you have an empty space and you wrote your one word, I want you to write one name of someone in your family that you really want to see life changed. You've got a burden for this morning. And in 3 to 5 years, or maybe 6 months down the road, you want to see them sitting in church with you, amen? We don't give up on people here at Mission Point, do we? Some of y'all will hound people down. Amen? I know you. I know you will go take them a pie. I know you will go sit with them and make coffee. I know you will lead them to the Lord. My great mentor in the Lord is here this morning. And last year I thought I was going to go to her funeral, Marilyn Carr. I asked when I came here, I was going through a real hard time 3 years ago. I asked them, I said, do you know anybody who prays really good here? They said, there's a lady named Marilyn Carr. Get hooked up with her. Amen. 1 year ago, I sat at the hospital and said, God, can you keep her around for a little bit longer? Because I still got things to learn. She's here this morning. One plus prayer equals great power. I sat in the waiting room as people came in that people don't go to Mission Point anymore and said, Marilyn led me to the Lord when I was a kid. I was coming out of things and Marilyn led me to Jesus. I sat there when the people came through. I went, wow, did she lead everybody here? She's just a person. She learned how to harness great power. This morning, I want to challenge you this morning. I'm just a dyslexic. It comes from nobody. You know my flaws. You know I'm a little emotional once in a while. I have no problem hiding it. But I'm one person who likes to pray. And when I get in contact with God, great things happen. This morning, I'm going to have an altar call, right? And I know that some of y'all know how to pray. And I know some of you know how to move mountains with Jesus Christ. I would say that you need to bring your little card down this morning and pray over all 5 names or whoever 8 names you got on that card. And then your person who you want to see in the church someday.